pick up your Bible, authorized version in English, that's in front of you in the pew. Turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. And we are going to read some verses here. This is a strange passage. It's caused people a lot of difficulty. But when things begin to come to pass, then you start to understand the prophetic scriptures. The prophetic scriptures are only known in their truth when they are fulfilled. The 9th chapter of Revelation, and the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. And the 6th angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the 4 horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the 6th angel, which had the trumpet, loose the 4 angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the 4 angels were loosed, and were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the 3rd part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lambs, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these 3 for the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his very own inspired, unerring book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill us to the uttermost, I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. The book of the Revelation at the chapter 1 and the verse 1 reads, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. God has not left his people without a testimony of what is going to take place in this world in which we live. Prophecy is history written beforehand. When it's written beforehand in prophecy, it's hard to understand it. But when it is fulfilled before our eyes, then we wonder how short-sighted we were and why we didn't grasp the nature of prophecy. The terrorist attack in the USA on the 11th of September rocked the whole world and called the attention of the whole world to the state of things religiously in this world. It exposed the apostasy of false religion. And from it came a warning from the providence and the providential operation of that providence to the people of this world to return to the biblical faith of the Bible, which is the true word of God. Divine revelation is not argument. Divine revelation is an affirmation. It's not for discussion or debate. It's for believing and acting upon. God instructs us in his book of what's going to happen. He expects us to believe it, and he expects us to act upon it. I want, in this first sermon of a series of messages, I feel constrained to bring you at this time on Sunday evening, I want to merely sketch the main religious combatants in the final conflict of this age. And the sovereign and supreme authority of of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ with the irresistible sword which comes out of his mouth, his inerrant and infallible word. If you take up your Bible and turn with me to Revelation 1, and turn with me to verse 16, it says of Christ, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And if you turn over to chapter 19 of the same book of Revelation, and you look at verse 15, you'll read there, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And then if you look with me again at verse 21, you read, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And if you want to know what that sword is, you will find that in Ephesians 6 and verse 17. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is God's irresistible weapon. This is the Word of God, and in it there is all the attributes of God. All his majesty, all his might, all his power, and all his glory. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, you will find out that when Christ comes, and the wicked one, the Antichrist, will be consumed with the spirit of his mouth. And the spirit of the Lord's mouth is the Word of God. This is the weapon of God. Now, as we survey the world situation tonight, we see the main forces that are involved in the evil syncretism of diverse apostate religions. False religions are coming together. Now we have the religion of Mohammedanism, we have the religion of the papacy, and we have the religion of Judaism. And these are the three main combatants in the religious world tonight. And then, of course, we have biblical Christianity. And those three false religions are against biblical Christianity. Two great thrones at war, the throne of true religion and the throne of false religion. Some people think that Mohammedanism is a contemporary religion. It's not Christianity, it's not Judaism, it is a new religion invented by Muhammad. Not so. Mohammedanism is apostasy. And Mohammedanism is not paganism, it is apostasy from true Christianity and the true religion of the Old Testament, which was Judaism. And we need to keep that in mind. Just the same way as in the West, Romanism. And Romanism is apostasy from the truth of the New Testament. As Mohammedanism is apostate also from the Bible, which is the Word of God. These religions, Romanism, Mohammedanism, and Judaism, are apostate. They have departed from the Holy Scripture. They are all pollutions and corruptions of Christianity, engineered by the devil himself. They did not originate in paganism, although they have become pagan. They originated in satanically inspired departure from the revealed truth of the one true and only living God. Their paganism is not their origin, but rather they have gathered this paganism upon themselves as they have stampeded, engineered by the devil from the light of truth to the great deceiving lie of darkness. Their apostasy is irreformable. There will be no spiritual revival within Mohammedanism. There will be no spiritual revival within Romanism. There will be no spiritual revival within Judaism. God will save people out of Mohammedanism. God will save people out of Romanism. God will save people out of Judaism. But the systems are irreformable, and upon them there is the curse of Almighty God. When the ships go across the seas, the barnacles stick to the bottom of the ship as it passes through the dark waters, so that the barnacles of every known and pagan deceit have fastened themselves to these religions, which have departed from the true and holy faith of the only true God. You see, the key to test every religion is the question that Christ himself asked. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And all these religions are Christ rejecting in their character. That is where their apostasy and corruption and pollution started, having rejected Christ the light. They have only Antichrist darkness left. Let's take Judaism for instance. The Jewish religion had its origin in the revelation of the true God and the promise of his son, who would come as the Messiah and Savior of his people. This was all set forth in the Old Testament scriptures. It was true religion, the Old Testament revelation. It was that part of God's revelation preparing all mankind for the first advent, the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The term Judaism was coined by the Greek-speaking Jews to designate their way of life in contrast to their neighbors, who were not only Greek-speaking, but of Greek extraction. All through the Old Testament, the Jewish race had a series of apostatizing. Read the book of Jude, of Judges, for instance. Read the 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. Read what happened to them when they were led captive to Babylon. They apostatized. They left the truth.
that they refused God's judgment, refused to turn and repent and believe. After the advent of Christ, the Jewish people nationally rejected the Son of God, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And we know what the leaders of the Jews and their priests did. They said, he calls himself the Son of God. He makes himself God. We cry, crucify him! Hang him up on a cross! And so they did. And they shouted out, his blood be on us and on our children. What a very expensive price the Jewish race have paid for their rebellion against God and their rejection of Jesus Christ. If you want to read in prophecy why God cast off the Jewish race, when you go home tonight, read the 9th chapter of Romans, and you will see how drastic God's judgment was upon the Jewish people. The Jew is the mystery man of prophecy. He mingles among all the nations, but a Jew never loses his identity. All the other people who become immigrants or migrants, they go to a country and they lose their identity. The Jew never loses his identity. For God has made him a marked man. And at the very heart of the conflict with Mohammedanism is the state of Israel. Mohammedanism wants to bring to complete annihilation and extinction the state of Israel. But Israel will not be extinguished, because God's purpose for Israel is revealed also in the 9th chapter of Romans, if you read it, that if the casting off of the Jewish nation was to bring in the glorious age of the Gentiles and gospel liberty, what shall the bringing again of Israel be but life from among the dead? So God has a purpose, and that purpose will be fulfilled. I will come back to that in a later address, Judaism as we see it today. But Judaism as we see it today is apostate. It hates the Son of God. It rejects the Son of God. It passes laws in the state of Israel to keep the Christians from proselytizing and evangelizing. Let's turn to Romanism. As Judaism is apostasy from Old Testament revelation, Romanism is apostasy from New Testament revelation. It is the religion of the Pope as the Antichrist, the instead of Christ Savior. The papacy usurps the place of Christ, the person of Christ, and the program of the true Christ by the Pope, by the priests, and by the entire religious gadgetry of the Church of Rome. The Pope poses as the alternative to God the Father. He is the only person that dares to usurp the Father's name. You read John 17. The Father's name is Holy Father. Who takes that title? Who poses on earth as the Holy Father? None other than the Pope of Rome. Secondly, he claims to be the vicar of Christ. Vicar means substitute. And he calls himself the substitute of Christ. Matthew 25 and verse 9 says, call no man father on earth, for one is your father, even your heavenly father, which is in heaven. When a man calls the Pope Holy Father, he is putting him in the place that only God can take. And when he calls himself the vicar of Christ, the substitute of Christ, then he takes the place of Christ, and he is an antichrist. Is it any wonder the Bible thunders out the truth with such tremendous power in the first epistle of John at the chapter 2 and at the verse 22. Mark it in your Bible. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The only religion on earth that denies the Father and the Son and calls itself the Christian religion is the papacy, because it is not true Christianity. It is anti-Christianity. When you go home, read the 7th chapter of Daniel. I'll be coming back to that chapter. And you will find a little horn. Read it carefully. The little horn. That little horn is the prophecy of the papacy. The little horn. You just ponder that chapter and read it very carefully indeed. Let me turn to Mohammedanism. The next great apostate religion is the religion of Mohammedanism. This religion has gained worldwide attention because of the terrorist activities of the 11th of September in USA and the subsequent war in Afghanistan. This is a very dark hour in the history of our world, and it will get darker. Tony Blair, in his efforts to build a coalition of Islamic nations against bin Laden, has sought, along with others, to whitewash the religion of Islam. Daily Telegraph this week produced an inset in every Daily Telegraph, and it's the largest circulating paper in the whole of the United Kingdom. Circulates, I think, 2 million copies. Into every reader of them, they sent this particular inset, which is a whitewashing of Islam. It's not a faithful, truthful document. It's a document trying to whitewash the religion of Islam. Islam, in its basic fundamental religious beliefs, cannot be made white. Its doctrines call for the utter and total rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. And it replaces the biblical revealed revelation that the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has given to this world in the Word of God. Replaced it by the false God, Allah. I see in this insert an introduction by the Prince of Wales, who has become a spin doctor for Mohammedanism. And he tells us in this message from HRH, Prince of Wales, he tells us some very interesting things. He says the beliefs and values which bind Christians and Mohammedans together are more powerful than those things that need to divide us. He says we share as Muslims and Christians a powerful core of spiritual belief. He says we believe in the one divine God. And the transience of our earthly life, in our accountability of our actions, and in the assurance of the life to come. He goes on to state that Christianity has not a monopoly of truth, nor can lay claim to a picture which is more true than Mohammedans can lay claim to. So we have syncretism, synchronizing the two religions, trying to make them agree. Alas for the Prince of Wales! He's benighted with the deception of religious ecumenism and syncretism. And then the Daily Telegraph goes on, and it tells us the great falsehood that the God of Islam, Allah, is also the same God as we worship, and who is also the God of the Jews. Everybody knows that the God of Mohammedanism is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe in the one true triune God as revealed in the Bible are reckoned to be infidels in the teaching of the Quran. Muhammad was born in Mecca in 570 AD. He launched his new Islamic religion, but he did not devise a new religion. He produced a corrupted form of both the Old Testament and the New Testament revelation, and claimed for his own Bible the Quran, verbal inspiration. Mohammedan traced his religion back to Abraham. The Quran also introduces us to Jesus, whom it claims is only a prophet, but not the great prophet, for the great prophet is Muhammad himself. The Quran also writes quite an interesting story about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It hails Jesus as one who worked miracles, raised the dead, and healed the sick. And amazingly, the Quran speaks of the second coming of our Lord Jesus. But when it comes to tell us more about their Jesus, we find that their Jesus is another Jesus, not the Jesus of the New Testament. Their Jesus, the Quran speaks of as a preacher of Judaism, a preacher against the incarnation of God in flesh. What another lie when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Handle me and see." When the Lord Jesus Christ said he had come from the Father and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Muslims cannot affirm the Trinity. In fact, the Quran denies the Trinity. They don't recognize the Trinity. And finally, They deny the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. So they are Christ deniers. There is no co-union between Mohammedanism and between true biblical Christianity. God help the Prince of Wales. God enlighten his darkened mind and soul. God bring him to repentance and faith in the only true and living God. And this paper of the Daily Telegraph tries to go on and join the two together. It tells us that the Quran introduces Jesus with a nativity story of great affection and literary brilliance. It affirms the virgin birth. It hails Jesus as the Messiah who worked miracles, who raised the dead, healed the sick. And stating that Jesus will come again at the end of time, Islam is the only non-Christian religion to accord a specific place to Jesus. However, they have to admit that the Muslim Jesus is un-Christian and not the Christ of the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In no way will Islam admit the revelation of the Trinity and the eternal sonship of our Savior. And in the same way as Judaism denies the sonship of Christ, so does Mohammedanism. Denies the sonship of the Son of God. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? That is the great question that we must come to consider. What does Judaism think of Christ? What does the papacy think of Christ? What does Mohammedanism think of Christ? Could I say to you, after you have read Daniel chapter 7, you then go on and read a little farther, and you'll find another horn coming up in different circumstances. That horn is the horn of Mohammedanism. The book of Daniel reveals Romanism as a horn in chapter 7. And when we go on into Daniel, there is another horn that comes up. And that's the horn of Mohammedanism. And we'll be coming to those scriptures and examining them carefully. Because God has given in his holy book to his people the unveiling of the mystery of things that shall shortly come to pass. I also trust you will sit down before next Sunday and read the whole book of the Revelation. And if you do, you will, of course, read that chapter that we read tonight. That's an important chapter. Pay careful attention to every word in it, because we have the key to the situation at the present moment in that particular chapter. There is a hymn in our hymn book, and it asks the question, "What thinks ye of Christ?" And I want to say tonight, that is the great question that we ask these false religions. And as we get their answer, we see where they stand. Just pick up your hymn book for a moment And look with me at hymn numbered 74, written by that great man of God, John Newton. And he says, "What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears to your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy and wrath is your lot. Some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most, but they have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I. I durst not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, until I am sure he is God." There's the very heart of it. What think ye of Christ? Men and women tonight, what side are you on? Have you taken Christ as your Savior? Have you washed your robe and made it white in the blood of the Lamb? Can you say with Peter what only the Father can reveal to the sinner's heart? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that? Are you born again? Outside Christ, there's hell, damnation, judgment, despair, out of outer darkness, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. But inside Christ, there's heaven, there's peace, there's pardon, and there's life everlasting. God forbid you should be out of Christ. God grant you'll be in Christ, and you can receive him now, and he can receive you now. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.